presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
So I'm excited to introduce to you the amazing, the wonderful Amy Stott. As Amy brings her things up, she has a message to share with us today. I have to tell you something. I missed you guys so much, Eli. I missed your worship. So, yeah, Mum asked me, I think it was on Monday. She's like, Amy, will you share? And I was like, oh, do you really, really need me to? she said, well, yes, please. I said, I'll pray about it. And I did. And God did give me some things to share. So I said, oh, all right. I'll listen. I'll be good. And I'll do it for my dad, for Father's Day. So I'm a child of God. And I do want to say, before I start, I know it is really hard to talk about God being your father if you have had a bad experience with your father. And you can look at, well, if God's like a father, then I don't want anything to do with that because I don't want another guy who's like what my dad was like, which I obviously can't relate to. But no. Not from personal experience. But I've been reading a book by Louis Giglio called Seeing God as the Perfect Father. And I really love the way that he talks about it, where he says that God is not the reflection of your earthly father, rather the perfection of him. So all the things that like you might have wished, oh, I wish my dad would do this, I wish my dad spent time with me all the time, I wish my dad loved me like that, then that is who God is, but infinitely more. He is all of those things times like a billion, even better. So I wanted to start with a Bible verse, always a good place. It's Romans 8, verse 14 to 15. If you want to find it in your Bibles or on your Bible apps and follow along. I know I've got it on the screen, but still good to be involved. Sword of the Lord, anyone? Not as good as Mum. I'm not giving you treats. Might not participate. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's a really good one, I reckon. So the first bit says, those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. So to be a child of God, you have to be led by the Spirit. Well, that can be a little hard to understand if you don't know all that much about the Spirit, although I think most people here have the Spirit in them, which is step number one to be led by the Spirit is have the Spirit of God in you. You know, have accepted Jesus as your salvation and accepted the blood of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and then he can lead you. But he can't lead you if you're not listening. So you need to be listening to God, and I know this has been something that I have probably at the end of season of really focusing on being led by the Spirit, which is probably why I'm here and not down there. But the only way, I can't think of any other way to be led by the Spirit other than listening to what he has to say and learning to know the Spirit, who the Bible says he is, who the Bible says God is, because they're the same, believe it or not. And learn to hear from him, pray to him and with him through the Spirit, and then he can lead you in where you want to go. And then you have to obey, take the big scary steps. A blockage I've found when you're being led by the Spirit is if you're being led by something else, what else in your heart is more important than God? I love David says in one of the Psalms, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." I know it says in the Bible, who can know the human heart? It's the most deceitful, wicked thing. I love to pray this prayer and pray, God, search my heart. Show me where in my life I need to come back to you. Where in my life am I not being led by you? And believe it or not, he usually has somewhere where I can improve. It's not perfect. That says, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. That's a tough one. I know we've talked about this a lot in our small group back in Adelaide a lot, that God has to be first by far. He's not oh yeah, God is number one, but this is a close second. It's God has to be leagues ahead of everything else. There is nothing that's even close to as important as God is, which is hard to do because those are the people we love the most, our children. I know a mother's love is very strong and a father's love. Not from experience, but I have experienced on the receiving end. but even your family and the people that you choose as your family, it's hard to put God above those things. And then when you're being led by the fruit and you're stepping out, led by the Spirit, sorry, check your fruit. How you know if you're following in what God wants you to do is if your fruit is good, if your fruit is of God. Matthew 7:16-20, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So if you're being led by the Spirit, then hopefully you're a good tree and you'll be bearing good fruit. So if you're looking at what is coming out of your life, and when I'm doing this thing that I think God is telling me to do this thing, what is the result of those actions? If they're good, then probably doing pretty well. So we're led by the Spirit, which makes us children of God. So the next half of that verse says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We are no longer slaves to sin. We're not bound by anything. Jesus set us free from that. He says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, then you are truly free. And we like to sing that line, but I think it means so much more than just if the son sets free. We all live in sin, right? Not alone in that one, I hope. No one here is secretly Jesus. Yeah. So we all sin, and we were a slave to sin. But because we all have the Spirit of God in us, we have the Son who has set us free. So we are truly free. So we were not made to live in fear. We're no longer slaves. We don't need to live in fear again. I know there's a couple ones up there that I feel like most people know those verses, pretty familiar ones? For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And Jeremiah 29:11, another very familiar one. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God's plans for your life are not plans of anxiety or fear. And I mean, who hasn't felt anxiety in their life? Probably no one above the age of 8. It's not, I feel like people say, oh, well, if you feel anxious, then you're not being led by God, you're not being led by the Spirit. But that's not, God felt fear, Jesus felt fear. He cried in the garden, tears of blood, because he was feeling fear. But that doesn't mean that he was feeling the spirit of fear and he was overcome by demons, which I know some people think of it that way. But God gives us fear for a reason. But he doesn't call us to live in that fear. Jesus didn't not go on the cross because he was afraid. We're still called to do the scary things. And to not declare, I can't do that because it's too scary. I can't. I'm just an anxious person. I just have anxiety about this. And I know I used to say, I'm just an anxious person. And now I'm here. So clearly not too anxious. But when... this is something that I've been hearing a lot in, especially in the podcast that Hannah and I like to listen to, Girls Gone Bible. They always talk about what you're declaring over your life, because our words have power. If you're saying, I'm an anxious person, then you're claiming that and you're accepting that as that's your identity. But that's not the identity that we have been given. We have been given the identity of a child of God. That we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth. So that's just my little challenge, to stop declaring and stop speaking negative things over your life, because when you pay attention to what you're saying and when you stop, it makes a huge difference. I've been like a billion times happier, just for the personal testimony, you know, there's proof. So the next part of that verse says that the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Legally and spiritually, we are children of God. I've been reading a theology book and it talks about the Greek-Roman context that Paul was writing in to the Romans. Their context of adoption was that if someone was being adopted, the father paid the sins of the son in full. Like all of the debts that the son had, all of those debts, the father had to pay for them and completely check it out back to balance zero to adopt that son. Which is what God does for us when he paid for our sins, when he adopted us into his family. Our debt is paid in full. It's not like, oh, it's paid and then you mess up and then you get all the debt back. It's gone. Completely clean slate, wiped clean. And something that was a revelation to me when they were talking about this, they were talking about sin doesn't dissolve your relationship with God. It diminishes it. Some big words, I know. But when we sin and when we keep sinning and we feel like, oh, I'm just doing the same thing again, when you think about how we feel if someone is always sinning against us or hurting us again and again and again, then we say, no, I'm not going to forgive you again. You just did the same thing 3 times in a row. Like, no way. I'm not going to open myself up to be hurt by you again. But God's never trying to protect himself from being hurt by us. God's not worried about us doing the same sin again and again and again, because every time he wipes it clean, it's forgotten. It's gone. And when we sin, or when we continue to walk in that sin because we don't come back to God and we say, oh, God's going to be mad. He's not going to want to hear it. I've done it too many times in a row. He doesn't want to hear it again. He doesn't want to hear me say, I'm sorry for this same thing again. I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. But that's us continuing to walk away from God. And then we get 5 meters down the path away from God where we've been running away from him. And then we stop and say, where are you? Why are you abandoning me? Why aren't you with me? But God's still there. He's still just waiting. God's not going to move on without you. God is seeking to redeem you. He wants to bring you back into his family. He wants you to be his child and to walk in that. So come back. Just come back. Turn around. And I know sometimes if you've gone so far, sometimes you still have to walk back a little bit and it's still a journey back. You can't just be like teleportation back right in front of God. Unfortunately, I feel like life would be a lot easier if you could just go, oh, I'm sorry, back to the way that it was immediately before I started to walk away. But when you start to walk back, God's running towards you. Like in the prodigal son, when the son comes home, the father is running to meet him. God is running to meet you. He wants to redeem you. And the last part of that verse, I've gone all out of order now, is, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We get to call God Dad. Well, Abba is what it was like the name for babies. That's easy for babies to say. Like when babies are learning to talk and they say, Dad, 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 because it's easy for their mouths to say. That's Abba, Abba, Abba. As a child, we get to relate to God as a little child, which he tells us to be like the little children, and he tells us to call him Abba. Abba, Daddy, Father. We get to have that close, intimate relationship with God. He wants to have that close, intimate relationship with us. Do you want to come back? And my girlies, walk back into the arms of God. Come running back. Meet his run. When he's running towards you, run back towards God. Close in prayer. Father, we thank you that we get to have this close relationship with you. We thank you for your love, that we can feel your love. We pray that you search our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us where we need to turn away from things that aren't from you. Reveal to us what's hurting us in our relationship with you. We thank you that you run towards us, that you do not leave us, Lord. We thank you that you're always seeking to redeem us, Lord. We pray that you bless all of the fathers as we go on this Father's Day, that they'll feel your blessing, they'll feel the love of you and of their children, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.